Lydia Lunch is legendary. If not for the wildly experimental music she has made in her own bands and in collaboration with Nick Cave, Henry Rollins, Sonic Youth, Einstürzende Neubauten, and The Birthday Party, then for her ability to eviscerate reporters.
So, pleasure to see you, Lydia Lunch.
Thank you.
Right now you're very hungry, right?
Well, that doesn't matter. I'm hungry for an intelligent conversation, which I've yet to find.
Lydia Lunch, do you still want to commit suicide?
I never wanted to commit suicide, but I'm always ready for murder. The leaves
are dead. Lydia's primal urges, in tandem with her saber-tongued braggadocio, started rattling cages back in the late 70s when her band Teenage Jesus and the Jerks was playing gigs at CBGB's and Max's Kansas City in downtown Manhattan, capturing the attention of Brian Eno and epitomizing the so-called no-wave movement, which, by the way, is not the same as punk rock.
If you say punk, or you say the blues, or you say jazz, or you say country, you have a pretty specific knowledge of what that's going to sound like. When you say no-wave, you have no idea. All you know is it's going to make you uncomfortable. It's not going to sound like any of the other things that are no-wave. It's going to be dissonant. It's not really audience-friendly. There may or may not be pop melodies. And there's not only brutality there, but there's an absolute absence of empathy for the audience, because it is a personal insanity that rings through the blood like a metallic knife that, if you don't let it out in a tantrum, will kill you or cause you to kill somebody else. That's as clear as I can be.
It sounds like art served almost a therapeutic function.
Well, I mean, I still feel that way. And I used to say when I was in my 20s, I will be the oldest living woman of rage. What has kept me going and why I feel I need to and will continue is because I will be the voice for those that share the dilemma of existence, that are not only not satisfied and chronically dissatisfied, but are absolutely furious at the state of life as we know it now on this incredible planet, which is being destroyed, and basically the American way of life, which is death. I have to be the voice for those that cannot scream. I felt that since I was 12 or 13.
At around that same tender age, Lydia encountered literature.
I had been writing terrible poems from the age of 11, misanthropic already. Hubert Selby, Henry Miller, Jean Genet, the Marquis de Sade, Freud, Jung, all were very influential to me because they decided to write about the extremities of their life. How I came across these books in upstate New York, pre-internet, in a used bookstore, nobody brought me these books. I have no idea.
Dropping out of high school, Lydia moved to New York City.
Originally, I went to New York. I thought I would do spoken word, but it was an in-between period where there really wasn't spoken word. At the same time, a few years later, Jello Biafra, Henry Rollins, Exene Cervenka, Wanda Coleman, other poets and spoken word artists were coming up, but I had to start with music to get the words across.
Fairly soon, Lunch found her way into New York's literary scene. John Giorno included her among his stable of dial-a-poem poets, who left their work on an answering machine that listeners could call in to hear. The answering machine tapes eventually made it onto a series of LPs, so I ran across this dial-a-poem project and saw your face there with a bunch of other luminaries, David Johansen and Meredith Monk.
And I was on the Giorno poetry series, an album with Burroughs and Jim Carroll and David Johansen.
Burroughs was the eminence grise, really, of the punk and new wave scene, even all the way up to grunge and Kurt Cobain. And he went around putting his imprimatur on people. Did he ever do that to you?
I didn't really have much contact with Burroughs. Look, I was a 20-something punk, female. He didn't know anything about me.
Why do you think people gravitated to him so much?
Well, I think just his bold disconcern. You know, he really did not care what you thought. A, very punk. His lifestyle of travel, of going to Tangiers, of admitting what he was obsessed with. inventing a new form of literature.
Lunch engages with Burroughs' literary form in her spoken word performance, In the Beginning Was the Word.
In some of his books, he used the cut-up technique, and I thought, well, I'm using the cut-in technique. I'm going to cut in passages of his writing from different books, but I'm going to go from book to book, my book to his book, and I'm going to cut in some of his passages to stories that I'm going to tell.
In addition to her spoken word performances, Lydia Lunch keeps busy touring the world with her bands Retrovirus and Big Sexy Noise, curating art shows, writing a cookbook, and holding workshops.
You know, all of it is just, I need these different vehicles to express myself and to just offer what it is that I have to offer for those that might be interested in being overdosed by some hardcore female warrior energy.
Lydia's schedule begs the question of where all that energy comes from.
I'm a junkie of adrenaline and energy and not artificial stimulants, although I still endorse them, used in moderation for the right reason.
The self-described hedonist still asserts the urgency of pleasure. She just has a different way of defining it these days.
We have got to, with friends, with community, with art, rebel with pleasure, because it's what they steal from us in this endless war zone of fear and terror in this fascist police state. You have to find a way. And gluttony, believe me, I tried it for decades, is not necessarily it. You have to really deprogram yourself, and you have to really go back to elementals. You have to go back to good company, direct face-to-face conversation, appreciating nature. Oh, how punk I am.
Lunch's updated version of punk even includes hugs.
The average person who might have heard one thing I did in all of these years or think they would not assume that I'm like a chronic snuggler and a serial hugger. Sometimes on tour, I feel like the Mother India, because people always come to, I call it the kissing booth, the merchandise table. People need to hug. They want me to hug them, which I'm very happy to do, because we all need a hug right about now. It's just kind of weird.
Reviewing some of the interviews that you've given in the past, you know, I have to say that this has been not only a very lovely and pleasant conversation for me, but highly unexpected.
I am unpredictable. And it's things like this conversation that are important to me, for people to get a better idea and not just be intimidated by some image they may have created from bits that they've gathered from here and there about what I am. You know, I mean, it's still shocking and it's ridiculous that a woman is aggressive, is passionate, goes after what she wants, and does what needs to be done. That shouldn't be shocking. That shouldn't be controversial. That should be what we do.
For WFIU Arts, I'm Yael Cassander.
Blood is just memory.